Hey sluts, I'm Aubrey, an Aquarius sun, Scorpio moon, Taurus rising.
And I'm Danny, a Sag sun, Leo moon, Libra rising.
And we're your astro sluts. Back again.
Back again.
Every week.
Here we are. We're back with some more asteroid talk this week, which I think is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. I always like talking about asteroids.
Yeah.
I feel like they're just like fun and random.
Yeah, and it's our slut hot summer, and so we picked out some slutty asteroids to go through.
It'll be quite fun.
Thanks for calling Astro Sluts. Leave your birth time.
If you want to know how to get that guy, text their mom. We're gonna need that time. We'll be your latest crush. Call us Astro Sluts.
Do you have life updates for us?
Nothing crazy. I'm going to Mexico this week, so I'm just excited to be out of here.
Yes, absolutely.
Just excited to sit by the pool and read a book all week and relax.
Happy Mercury in Virgo.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I think my main update is that I need to remember that Venus is in retrograde.
Yeah.
I like really forgot. I got swooped. This week into it, and last night I was like I need to get in check. I need to stop whatever is happening in my little brain. And then this morning I woke up and I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Venus retrograde. So
yeah, totally.
At least feeling a little like, oh, okay, that's what's happening.
That's what that was
like,
about.
We can, like, relax and, like, enjoy. Mm-hmm. I love a feeling, but I think recalling that will keep me planted.
In check.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
The other thing is that I saw the musical Hair.
Oh, yeah.
The other day, and the first song of the musical is Age of Aquarius. Mm-hmm. I'd like to read some lines.
Please.
These are actually the opening lines of the song and the show. I'll read them. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars.
Aww.
Which is beautiful, they sing that. And I turn to the person I was with and I go, that's my birth chart. I literally have moon in the seventh house and Jupiter conjunct Mars in Aquarius.
That is so funny.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird.
So I think God, you guys.
Oh, yeah, that's like really funny.
Super funny. I was like, I don't even know.
Yeah, like what to take
it's
that.
Me.
But like
okay. I'm the prophecy.
The Age of Aquarius. Yeah.
I don't know what else to tell you.
No, literally, though.
So something to think about.
Something to think about. That is so funny.
Up next, we have our roster, which is our little segment where we go through what the planets are doing this week, who's on the bench, who's on the starting lines.
Who's the hottie of the week?
Yeah. And nothing like crazy is shifting in this next week, but Mercury is entering its retro shade, or its shadow period before Mercury retrograde. So we thought we would talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So this begins on August 3rd and ends September 30th, where the actual retrograde is August 23rd to September 15th. So I feel like this is just like, honestly, like a nice little preview about what you're going to actually experience during the retrograde, and like a good time, like if something just like weird or like different comes up for you, to like be like, okay, mental note, like save that for later, file that away, because it's probably going to come up again and be like an even bigger theme, or just like continue to happen over like the next month or so.
What like qualifies the retro shade is that it begins like when Mercury starts to slow down, mm-hmm. and then the actual retrograde would start when it like literally stops and starts moving backwards. But like in the degrees, like let's say Mercury's in retro shade from like, I'm literally making this up, but like 10 degrees to 15 degrees. So it's going to start slowing down between 10 and 15 degrees, and then at 15 degrees it would stop and then go back from 15 to 10. So it's gonna like hit mm-hmm. all these same spots in your birth chart when it starts retrograding, and then when it stations direct it will hit those like 5 degrees a third time. Yeah. So that's just like the math behind why these like mm-hmm. themes keep coming up. So yeah, definitely take note.
Yeah,
it's like a little preview.
Yeah, things are coming back in threes, yeah. essentially.
Also a good time, since it's Mercury's not like actually in retrograde yet, and as we may know, Mercury retrograde is when like kind of information and communications get all mm-hmm. jumbled and disconnected and confused. So if you know of anything that you're like, there's a conversation I need to have, or there's a contract that I need to sign, or you know, anything that like involves communication or information, get it rolling now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't like, because the retrograde will force you mm-hmm. into it, but like if there's something on your radar that you're like, I could start having that conversation or tell someone this thing now, I would do it.
Yeah. Also this retrograde will be in Virgo. Mercury is gonna be in Virgo, so you like good time to like literally just what Aubrey said, but like start paying attention to the details. Like if you have a contract you need to sign, fucking read the contract, get your details in order. This whole retrograde period is a good time to just like edit, revise, slow down on those things. Maybe like literally if you have to have a big conversation, like write down what you should say before.
Yeah,
I'm very into scripts these days. I feel like I've had a lot of friends that need to have like really hard conversations, like even like work wise, like contracts mm-hmm. and shit, like literally write it down. A doctor, like what you need to tell the doctor, what you need to ask them, like don't go into any big conversation, just like let's see what comes to mind. Like take a minute, write your shit down, revise it, edit it, and then go in with a like clear head. But I also think like the Virgo, like the sixth house energy would be good to pay attention to, like all your daily habits, like kind of mm-hmm. clean up your routines, your work schedule, just like all the little habits you do, especially like moving out of like, sadly, moving out of our summer energy into like more fall, winter. Like it's a really good, like you have a long stretch of time with these like retrograde and then the shadow period to like start getting your shit together, essentially.
Mm-hmm. It's giving your summer reading book.
Yeah.
For back totally. To school.
Literally, like all the work you were supposed to do over 3 months. Yes. Do it all right now.
Do it all now.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So yeah, that is Mercury mm-hmm. retro shade.
I also, I don't have the dates, but August, there's going to be 6 planets in retrograde. So definitely like take them as they come. But like, if you want to start prepping for the, like we're already in Venus, we talked about that last week, we've got it together. Maybe we start prepping for Mercury retrograde a little bit sooner. Cause then we've got Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto. And I do believe Chiron is,
yep,
did station retrograde a couple weeks back. So mm-hmm. there's a lot going on.
We're very jumbling.
Like, yeah, we're slowing down, we're reflecting, but like use this pre-period to figure out what you need to do.
We have a friend that is already very worried about Halloween. I should look at the like. She's like convinced like it's gonna be a crazy night. It's like season finale, like, because I feel like it's like the perfect amount of time.
On Halloween. Oh my god!
I was like, I'm not totally against that.
That is so funny.
But it's giving. It's giving season finale. It's just like, we think it's going to be an interesting evening.
That's so funny. Or a murder.
Or a murder. That she also does keep saying, I just want to be covered in blood.
Okay.
It's sounding like a Netflix series.
Pretty Little Liars, the reboot.
Yeah. Exactly that. So we'll see.
We'll see. Today's sex ed lesson is asteroids continued. We have an asteroids episode from like what seems like years ago, but it's not. It's season 3, episode 3. I did my research. And we talked about Pallas, Ceres. I don't know how to say any of these. It was a while ago. Juno, Vesta, and Eros. So if you are interested in any of those, you can listen there. A lot of asteroids are just lovey-dovey in format, honestly. So there's some of that happening there. So we are going to continue with some new asteroids, some fun new friends to add to our list. And these are honestly just so fun to look in your birth chart. I really highly recommend, like, if you're in doing something currently while you're listening to this, like, later go pull up your birth chart and add in some new friends.
I'll list all. So, okay. It's like a little bit confusing if you're not a reader when trying to do new tasks like me. But if you go to astro.com, you could also just like type in like Cupid calculator and look all these up individually. But if you are an astro.com user, which I am a huge fan of, you go into like extended chart selection, like pick out all your stuff. And then at the very bottom, there's like a drop down that you have to find. It says like alphabetical list of asteroids or something.
Yeah.
And then all of them.
There's a million.
There's a million.
There's like an Aaron Rodgers one. Yeah. Like there's like when I tell you there's a million.
There's a million. But if you want to go in right now and pick out all the ones that we're going to do, I'm going to run through the ones that we're going to cover today so you can find them now. We're doing Cupid, Amor, Psyche, Antros, Sappho, Lust, Casanova, and Aphrodite. So
beautiful.
Add those to your chart and we'll get into it. Is there any overall asteroid comments you'd like to make? They're not planets.
I feel like they're just like a good extra like little spice to add on to your birth chart. Definitely not like something you need to know if you're learning astrology. Yeah. But if you know like your birth chart pretty well, they are just fun to look up. Also super fun to look up for like dating and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all just like a little more nuanced. A lot of the things could fall under other planets. Like a lot of these are like very Venus coded.
Yeah.
Or like Mars coded. Say one more thing. Oh, and a lot of them are like rooted in mythology. Yeah. So if that's something that you're into or want to be into, like you can find a lot of nuance and like extra credit details on these placements in your chart by like literally reading the stories in mythology. And you can take any sort of like theme that you get from those stories and apply it to the placement.
Yeah. So obviously we're gonna botch some mythology coming up. So if you're like have a doctorate in Greek mythology or something, please just stop listening.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm starting with Cupid or Cupido. Cupid is the son of Venus. So obviously we are all familiar with our little image of Cupid, our little cherub, playful, innocent, lovey. This one is going to be really about like crushes and flirtations. More like how fast you fall in love or like how you fall in love, what makes the heart flutter. Like if you think of the little Cupid's arrow, it's that like initial like pinpoint. It's not like everlasting true love. It's not like long term. It's not like seventh house committed relationships. It's really more like the fun, flirty, kind of like dating scene vibe. This also could be like why people are like infatuated with you or like attracted to you too. So it can be like kind of the flip of like what you're interested in versus like what people find interesting in you. I do also think like there's definitely probably this like, I couldn't find anything really on it, but there has to be some like mother son dynamic here that I think would be interesting to look at, because it's like Venus is the mother, Cupid is the son. And you know, I love to bring up a mama's boy situation. So I do just like, I couldn't find anything besides just like literally like mother son relationship. Like, what do you mean? Like, can we delve in? But I do think there has to be like some of that here. So I think that might be something interesting to look at if you're like, you know, dating a mama's boy or something. But mine is in Taurus in my eighth house. So I feel like this placement would be very much like anyone who like spoils you, takes you nice places, like invites you on like a nice fancy date would probably be like very like initially attractive to you. It does have more of like that slow burn energy than like the many other placements I think would with this Cupid placement. Like, yeah. If you had it in your fifth house, you would probably be like, you are like chatting people up. You're either like working like seven Hinge messages, like going at all times, or you're just like out flitting and flirting with people. But I think eighth house energy would have a little more like, it's giving a little more like slow burn, not as like initially like falling head over heels for people.
Okay, mine's also, my Cupid is also in Taurus, but that's my first house, which I do feel like people tend to like have initial crushes on me, and I'm like, you know nothing about me, like ascendant wise. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I don't think you actually like me, but I get you think that's that I'm funny. Beautiful.
Yeah, that is kind of true.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I end up with people, I'm like, I swear you don't like me.
Yeah, like you actually didn't look into this at all.
I've been like, I'm always like, yeah, I've kind of been this the whole time. I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
I don't know what you thought. That's so funny. That is interesting though. But I do also think like you, I mean, we all do, but I do also love someone that like loves you.
Oh, for sure. Yes. No, I definitely.
I mean, same, but that is like giving that first house.
Yes. Up next, we have amor. It means love in Latin and is associated with Eros, which is the god of love. I also saw somewhere that it, like someone else said, it was like named after Cupid. Amor is going to represent like your perfect partner. This could be like romantically or sexually. So it's going to rule like qualities of love, like kindness, affection, or intimacy, traits like that you would want in a partner, like the ways that you want to give and receive love kind of thing. I do think that the key with a lot of these like asteroid placements are like there are a lot of like things that you look for in others, but I think also a nice reminder that they are things that you should like find in yourself first. Like, you cannot just be getting all of these traits from your partner. You have them inside of you as well. My amour is in Aries. So like I tend to want someone with like strong opinions, who's a leader and like has like spontaneous like fun energy, and it's in my 12th house. So different vibe. But I also want to have like a deep spiritual connection with them.
Yeah, mine's also in Aries, but in my 7th house. And famously, my boyfriend is an Aries. And I don't know. I guess, like, yeah. This is always when I talk about Aries. I'm a Libra rising, so my descendant is Aries. Mm-hmm. So that is very fitting that that is also in that little house of Aries land. But it is, like, it is just that, like, Aries-Libra, like, dynamic, I feel like, of the just, like, if you want to be this like poofy cloud that just floats around in the universe, yeah. like you need someone to like have direction and like know what's going on. And like, obviously I always know what's going on and I'm always in charge, but like, I don't like to pretend I am. So like that kind of vibe, I feel like is very attractive. Strong opinions, very heady.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Something else to point out is that if you were to have a more in the first house or like conjunct the ascendant, people probably find you super attractive and like people just like automatically like love you.
Mm-hmm.
Charming.
Yeah, totally. Okay, next up we have Psyche, which Psyche is Greek for soul.
Mm.
So this is an interesting one because I feel like it has like it's got a lot going on. So obviously we have like the soul, the mind, the self, but then with the mythology it gets more into like trust and love, passion, betrayal, jealousy. So the myth is like it's an Eros Aphrodite drama, but essentially it's Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
So we think about Beauty and the Beast.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Psyche. Yeah. So Psyche was like a pretty girl and Eros loved Psyche. And that was Aphrodite's husband, I think. So she was like pissed. And like it was a whole drama. She like sent her like so then Eros like posed as like some weird creature to like try to get Psyche to fall in love with her, like Beauty and the Beast. Like that's what Beauty and the Beast is, you know, spun off of or whatever. And then Psyche and Eros did eventually end up together. So that's what she was granted, like her immortality came through love with her marriage to Eros, because then it made her a goddess. Even though I don't know what the fuck happened to Aphrodite. I don't know. There's so much drama in mythology. It is actually kind of interesting. I feel like there was like a mythology person on Normal Gossip one time, and I would probably actually really enjoy that podcast. They had their own podcast about mythology, and like they were like, it's all gossip and drama. And I'm like, honestly, we should listen to it because it comes up a lot in astrology. But so it's very much like the themes we can take from it. It's like giving like how to unify yourself to your soul. So obviously Psyche in the story did that through love, even though the love was really fucked up because it's an ancient myth. But like it's kind of either like unifying like yourself to your soul and like how do you find your like kind of hero's journey, maybe kind of vibe, like, or doing that to someone else, like how do you find your like highest self through like combining with another soul or like connecting to yourself. Obviously I think this comes up then as like a lovey asteroid so much because we find so much of ourselves in like relationships. We see ourselves reflected back to us in relationships, that kind of thing. So obviously it's like a great time to like learn about yourself and like see those patterns that you have in a relationship. But I don't want to be like, I don't want anyone going out of here being like, well, my psyche is in their seventh house. And so my highest form is dating them. But like,
me. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
But like very much like how to heal so you can be loved and love yourself. This is in my second house in Scorpio. And so I feel like it's a lot of like value comes through like a deep like understanding of things and like valuing like kind of like, I mean, I do really value like psychology and I really want people to like know how they work and I want to know how people work. And like that's something like we can think of like second house as like our value, you know, Taurus energy. So how to like knowing how you want to go through life and like not being afraid of your shadow with that Scorpio energy. Can also be like in a water sign. It said it can be a lot about just like being intuitive, just like letting intuition kind of lead and like letting you learn about yourself through like intuition. But I do think like Leo, this placement, if you had it in Leo, this does feel like Belle to me. Like being like, oh my God, he's like ugly, but like I still fell in love with him. Like look at what I learned along the way.
So maybe if you have this placement in Leo, you should date someone who you don't find conventionally attractive. And then they'll turn into a prince.
Yeah. But a good one to look at for Sinistry too. People say like Venus conjunctions are like very like life-changing love vibes. Like, like really like kind of coming into yourself kind of vibe. Even if you don't stay with the person. But just one of those things that you're like, oh my God, this is like, this is changing my life forever. Also Psyche conjunct arrows. People say this is like a soulmate placement. Again, take that with a grain of salt, but just sharing. I don't even want to know. Like, what are you going to say?
Anyway, mine's in Scorpio in my seventh house. Also is conjunct my Chiron, which I just think like the overall like relationships are like so hard for me. And I am just like so independent and whatnot elsewhere. And like, my core wounding, but also like what?
Yeah,
like I think when I figure that out, it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, it is just so interesting. I think what I do think that one's like really. I would like to know more about that placement because I do think it's like, I think it is like a good one to know, even though like the story that it comes from is like really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad. Now that I'm talking about it more, I'm like remembering it more, and it's just like just one of the like really fucked up myths where you're like, I'm sorry. And this was a win? Like this was a positive for everyone? Yeah. Okay. But I do think it is an interesting one because it's really about, it's just about learning.
Yeah.
It's about learning about ourselves and how we connect with others and how we could be better be ourselves because of it.
I think maybe this would be a good one for us to like do more case study research on.
Yeah.
If you're listening, text us about your psyche placement, how you feel like it comes up for you. Maybe we can do a little more.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Looking into our friends' charts and things to see if we get more insight. Or maybe it's just like one of those things that like we're just, I'm like, we're not old enough to know about it. Like it, they just haven't like manifested yet.
Yeah.
Up next, we're going to talk about Antros. This is Eros's brother.
Oh.
Was created to like be a companion or kind of like counterpart for him. Mm-hmm. So whereas like Eros is more like sexual tension, not tension, but like sexual like interest, attraction.
Uh-huh.
Antros is the god of requited love and the punisher of scorned love. So like people that like do badly in love or like hurt the people that they love kind of thing. So this is going to represent like how you give or receive love. It's going to rule like mutual feelings, like the things that you are attracted to that are also attracted to you. And I think this like could very much show up if you are like someone that has a hard time being loved, which I think most of us do. It is like equally as hard to love as it is to like receive it. Or even if it's just like if you're someone that like when people offer you things, you're like, no, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
They love you. Mm-hmm. Accept it. So mine is in Aries, which I had a hard time translating this to myself. I don't know. I guess maybe we can discuss, but I didn't like feel connected with the Aries that much. I don't know. I guess I am like pretty direct.
Yeah.
If I love someone and like my actions.
Do you think it's more the 12th house?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. If it's like I'm concealing this.
Yeah.
And I do not let it see the light of day.
Yeah, that's interesting.
More of like hidden. And that's why I can't fucking talk about it. I'm like, nothing's coming up for me.
This is just not coming up for me.
Okay, maybe it could that's be that. Funny. Yeah.
Mine's in my sixth house and Pisces. Is that just giving that I met my boyfriend at work?
Yeah, I'm weak a little like, bit. Kind of. Yeah. It's giving.
It kind of is. I mean, I guess like the things that are interesting in like a relationship, not just like a crush or something, is like for me, it is like day-to-day vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you, like, fit into each other's life? I love working with, like, people I love.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of energy.
Yeah, I do think also maybe just, like, this is one that's, like, better for synastry. I do think, if, like, an antros aspect could just, like, mean that there is requited love. Or
yeah.
there is, like, a higher, like, chance of, like,
yeah,
there
totally.
Being a mutual vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have any aspects, I think there's maybe, like, a chance of...
scorn.
Yeah, a chance of scorn. Or just, like, if your crush does not like you back, like, I don't know, maybe check it out. Or
yeah, definitely. Okay, next we have Sappho, named after the Greek lesbian poet.
Iconic.
This is the first asteroid to be named after a person, too, which is actually cool. Like a real person, not like a vibe god or whatever. this asteroid is connected to the arts, femininity, lesbians, poetry, how you express your sexuality. Obviously, they're a poet, so it, like, can rule just, like, poetry and writing and stuff like that, but then it, like, skews more sexual too. Sun, Venus, and Mars aspects here are going to, like, point more sexuality, where, like, Mercury, Neptune are gonna have more of, like, the creativity side to it. For the Gleeks, I forgot I put this in here. I was reading, like, an article, and it was, like, Jane Lynch and her Sappho placement. I'm like, stop. Like, obviously, I'm including this. So she has Sappho square her sun and trine her Venus.
Her sun, trine her Venus. Okay.
So that's interesting. But I just thought that was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the Jane Lynch thing.
Yeah.
I was like, good for her. She got the write-up. Mine is in my 8th house in Taurus. I don't know. It's just very much giving pretty bitches, finer things in life.
Yes,
just like nice, slow living, slow art making,
mm-hmm.
beauty all around us. Still just has that very Venus energy that I think is, like, very much in the rest of my chart.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mine's also Taurus. So my first house.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving I want to come
off. It's giving
off.
Identity.
It's giving I want to come off as lesbian.
Yeah.
Done.
We'll see. That's all we have to say
about
that.
That's all we have to say. It's just giving that I want to come off as one, doesn't it? So badly. And yet, here we are. Up next, we have the asteroid Lust. I was like, that is such an interesting name for one. And it's, like, not really after anything.
Just lust.
It's just lust. They said, let's keep it simple.
Right.
Straight
you
to the point.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. This does have to do with Lucifer. Lucifer, like, asks, what do you desire?
Mm-hmm.
In some, like, I can't really tell you, like, what scenario this is. Someone's, like, down there. He says, what do you desire? And then that person, like, shares. It's kind of giving, like, you know, those things that you've never like admitted that you, like, lust
desire.
After. Yeah. So it's like all those, like, deepest, darkest desires, going to be like raw sexuality, like what arouses us. I think this shows up typically as, like, sexually related desires and, like, lustful attraction. But I think it's also, like, what desires you use sex to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
Is a nice way of putting it. For example, mine is in Capricorn, which my Venus is too, so it's just, like, giving more of that. But I just, like, am so attracted to power and status, and, like, I very much do use, like, flirting to, like, climb my social ladders,
mm-hmm.
or, like, dating. And it's in my 9th house. So very, like, adventurous in my sexuality. I've always been I'll try anything once kind of vibe. And just, like, need space to, like, explore and experiment kind of thing.
Mine's in my 4th house in Capricorn.
Okay.
I don't know what that
means. You like to be at home.
I know. Okay.
You desire to be the matriarch.
Yeah, I guess, actually.
Yeah, I think it
That's
is.
That's true. Okay, that works. I desire to be in control of my home and my relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Casanova, named after Giacomo Casanova, the original womanizer and man slut. This is a fun one. I feel like it's just like big masculine energy here.
If you're familiar with Carrie Underwood's song Cowboy Casanova.
Oh, there you go.
It's a banger.
Like seducing, simply to seduce kind of vibe. How you play the game.
Mm-hmm.
This is so embarrassing. I like cover my
looking.
No, it's just good. Mine is just fucking in Cancer, yeah, in my 10th house. Fucking big ass baby energy. And like, honestly, I play big ass baby in work, in relationships, everywhere. It fucking works for me so well. It always has worked for me, and it will probably always work for me. And as harmful as that is to everyone else, I'm sorry, but I will play baby till the day I die.
Yeah.
It's just what works. It's what gets me to win.
Mine's also in Cancer, which is what, my third house? Mm. Me crying every time I upset one of my friends.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of it from like a man's POV.
Yeah, no, exactly.
From Giacomo's POV. It could just be like you're just playing the game. Not in a bad way.
Yeah, fair.
But like on the reg. You know.
Yeah. I love the game.
Yeah.
I'm an avid player of the game. And finally, Aphrodite. Aphrodite is our Greek goddess of love and beauty. To the Romans, like, she is Venus. Mm-hmm. So very much like Venus here. It's going to represent like how you enchant people, or like how you are enchanted. She rules fertility, beauty, love, passion. And it's also going to show up in a lot of ways similar to Venus. It could be like aesthetics, whether that be like your style or like what colors look good on you, like your flirting style, like how you are most charismatic. This could also be like where you find yourself like in touch with your like divine feminine, or if it's like not a trait that we've developed yet, could be more like vain or like obsessive and manipulative kind of thing. Mine is in Aquarius, so we obviously know that I'm the quirkiest, uniquest little alien in the whole world. But I do find that like people are charmed by me when I act like weird and silly and goofy around them. And it's in my 10th house, which I have noticed recently. I feel like we must have talked about the app Dimensional.
Yeah, we definitely have.
We love the app Dimensional. We like it's like one of those like you take a bunch of like personality quizzes and it like tells you about yourself. And there's like one graphic and it's like what like my worst traits. And it says like humble bragging. And I feel like when we saw that, you were like, I don't really feel like you do that. And then since then, I've noticed that it's because I only do that when I'm flirting with someone.
Oh, that's funny. Because I'm like, I don't think you do that. But like, even now you're saying this, so I'm like, I've never heard you do that.
Because
that is like
I
so
don't like flirt with people like so aggressively funny. In front of you. Yeah. I guess.
That's very
But no,
funny.
I'm very much like...
I'm like, what do you say?
I'm trying to think of something I like said recently. I just like, okay, I was on a date and I was saying how I like have been love bombed a lot like in my past. And I was like, and I get it. I am literally amazing. I'm so cool and successful and nice. Like, I get it. Like, I get why someone would be obsessed with me.
Yeah. I don't think that's brag. I'm like, well, that's true.
Exactly. It is true, but like,
yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Some people have funny. Like a really hard time being like, yeah, I'm amazing. And when I'm flirting with someone, I'm like, yeah, I'm amazing.
Yeah.
We both know it. Yeah. But I feel like that is like so 10th house. But also it is just, I do want to be like widely beloved. I want to enchant the public very much so.
Mine's in my 5th house in Aquarius, which just makes sense. That's like where my Venus is too. Like everything is there for me pretty much. And I do feel like that's just like my identity is very tied to that placement. Like my 5th house Aquarius just like makes so much sense for me there. But the Aphrodite is definitely very much like I feel like that's how I like give to the world, but that's also how I like to be like seen and perceived and loved by like creativity and by making things and like putting it out, or like people collaborating and that kind of energy. Yeah. Also Aquarius, so yeah, I also have to be unique and one of a kind.
Of course.
Obviously. Never been done before.
And I think also like aesthetically that lines up for you. Just like very creative and colorful and like DIY.
Yeah, exactly. I have new hair, guys. If you didn't notice, I have aquamarine hair. I can't believe I haven't brought it up till now.
I know. I thought of it mid-episode and I was like,
I just like kind of caught it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have beautiful aquamarine streaks.
Okay. Humble brag.
But like if you're not watching, it's like from Aquamarine, the movie, like how she has blonde hair and then has just like a couple blue pieces in it. And I also have shell. You're not going to be able to see these at all,
I have
really cute shell nails right now with like aquamarine pearls on them, because I literally like I said this to yesterday, but I was like I'm going on my vacation in costume.
As you should.
I'm going in costume as a mermaid to the beach.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've got it all pulled together.
One last little tidbit for Aphrodite. Definitely another one where if it's like conjunct to your ascendant or like any of your inner planets, it will make you like particularly magnetic to people. But also if you recall last season, we did our little math season and we talked about degrees. So if you have Aphrodite in the Leo degrees, which would be 5, 17, or 29, there's a chance of like you being recognized because of your style. Like you could be like famous.
Me, I'm like,
yeah.
Well, let me
zoom
see.
In there.
I don't have that.
Okay.
No, mine's at 8.
Mine's at 22.
Whatever.
Maybe somewhere else.
Maybe somewhere else.
But yeah, those are the asteroids. Wasn't that fun?
I think that was fun. There's also like, there's so many more we could have done.
Yeah.
I just was like, I feel like I can't put more on this list.
No, I think we did a good number and then we'll have to do another continuation.
Cause like literally even still within the realm of like dating and like love and relation, like it's still, there's so many. It's just so interesting.
Yeah. Well, we will do all million by the time.
Literally.
Our pod days are over. Yeah, go look up your asteroids.
Yeah, text us about it.
Please.
Are we singing?
I think we are.
Hot topic.
Welcome to Hot Topic, where every week we talk about a topic that is hot. And it usually has to do with something burning hot. Sometimes we like to put it in theme. And so today we're going to talk about virginity. It's giving ancient
It's Greek. Giving Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Purity vibes.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't even know where to start.
Me either.
Okay, I guess I'll start with, like, I do feel like people, like, kids are having sex so young.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it's just so, I think it's just such a, like, weird, unnecessary thing, kind of. But also, it's like, you can't, like, I would never want anyone to feel, like, ashamed.
Yes.
Or, like, virginity obviously isn't real, but, like, it's, like, not a real thing. But I do think, like, when... Like, I just have, like, people that have, like, siblings or cousins or whatever. And, like, they're all having sex at, like, 13, 14. Like, that's really
scary to me. But then, like, where is the line of, like, obviously that's, like, when you go through puberty and you, like, start to get horny. But then, yeah. like, I'm trying to, but I guess that is, like, not the psychological, like, that is, like, literally, like, human survival instincts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm like, where is like the line though?
I don't know.
Cause like, yeah, that feels really young.
But like not, I don't think it's like a bad thing because you had sex. It's more just like why, like what is the like intention?
I yeah. guess?
Or like the need. I do just feel like it's like an internet thing maybe. Like I just feel like you just like, you have like all access to everything on the internet. So you just think you can like, there's no reason why you wouldn't just like do everything. Like nothing is like. Nothing is like for adults anymore or yeah. something maybe. I don't know. I just think that's interesting. I think it's like something to like, I just think about when I like, obviously like don't think that anyone should feel the need to like wait or feel ashamed for wanting to have sex or for having sex. But then I also am like, I don't know if you need to have sex when you're 13. Like I just, cause like, I don't think I made good decisions till I was like 24.
For sure. Yeah.
Like last year. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm like, I just think like as someone who was a teenager, like I didn't really make good choices. I kind of did, to be honest. But then when I was a little older, I didn't. But like, I just think.
Well, you had to make up for your good choices.
Yeah, exactly. So then it's like, yeah, I just like, I do think it's so interesting. Like, how do you approach it? In a way that's not shameful, but also being like, you don't need to do that.
Yeah. Well, okay. I wish I would have done more research for this because I did literally none. But, like, I can only imagine that the concept of virginity was created by, like, religions as a method yeah. of control.
Yeah.
Or just, like, the patriarchy in general. As like yeah, a way to control
I think
control
it was like
women.
A way to sell women for marriage.
Yes.
Because otherwise there was nothing like special about people.
Yeah.
Which I'm not, it's obviously not true. That's terrible. Yeah. But I think that was like, I think it was like for marriage because otherwise why would you get married?
Right.
Because so they needed to more... make someone, they needed to make like a barrier for like, you have to get married so you can have sex, but mm-hmm. you're only valuable if you haven't had sex yes. as like a wife or whatever.
Yeah. And I guess it probably also was like just like a method of birth control.
Yeah.
But like a abstinence by shame.
Yeah, for sure.
And repression.
Yeah. I know. It's so interesting. I do also, this is like another offshoot, but I do just like, I've seen so much like casual sex is bad on the internet now.
Hmm.
And I just like, I disagree obviously, but like obviously like I understand that it's not healthy for some people, but I do just like, I'm like, what? Like that's just slut shaming.
Yeah.
Sorry. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I just think that that's like another like hard line that I've just been like seeing a lot of like people being like casual sex is the devil, like sex is like an energy, like whatever the fucking people say about sex, but like, which like I get, I know some people who like don't do well with casual sex, like they get very attached or like whatever, you get very emotional, like that's fine obviously, but like I feel like that's just like a something you need to like know about yourself. Like I don't know, I feel like it's almost like a swing from like the like cosmo sex positive era yeah. to then like everyone was just like, okay, the way to be empowered is to have sex with a bunch of people, which is like not necessarily true, but then it's like then the flip of that opposite. Isn't necessarily better.
yeah which this is something that I've been working on in therapy for the past couple weeks, is just we need to let go of the binary.
Yeah, totally.
It's just not like ever gonna be like one way or the other way. Like most things live in that like gray area, and like as we know from reading birth charts, like everybody's a little bit different, and so like everything's gonna work a little bit different for everyone.
Yeah.
And then it's just at the end of the day, there's just like no good or bad.
I know.
Things just like don't really matter like that, I'm pretty sure.
No, they don't. I think that is just like the blanket statements.
Yeah.
Is what upsets me, because like, I don't know, I had a lot of casual sex and it didn't really I mean, literally I got STDs, but that's like whatever. Like you go, like that's bad. But like emotionally, like it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
And I feel like people being like, sex is so sacred. Like, I don't feel like I'm any less like sacred or took care of myself less, or like my energy is like stuck with some man's penis. Like, what do you mean? Like, I just like don't know what people mean by that. And I think it's so literally just like feels like a different way to be like, you need to be a virgin. You need to be pure for your right person or whatever.
Yeah.
I just think it's so weird. Or like maybe just like that doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
And you should say, I had a really hard time with this. If you feel like you have a hard time with this, that's like something, you know, you're not alone. But again, yeah, like we should not be making blanket statements.
Not like ever.
Ever.
Because like, yeah, some sex is like, sex is sacred to some people. And then also some sex is sacred to other people. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like for some people, only certain sex feels sacred, and like not, it doesn't have to, I don't think. As long as it's consensual and you're having a nice time. I don't know if it needs to feel sacred.
I don't think so.
Maybe for you it does. And that's beautiful. And you should know that about yourself.
Yeah.
But for other people, it's like.
Yeah. It just feels like we're bringing up like a conversation that we already had with like a different name.
Yes.
Kind of vibe. And I just think it's interesting.
It is interesting.
Because I think it leans like spiritual vibes too, which is obviously a realm we exist in. So it is like, it's just not one of the ones I love.
Yeah. Well, something, I don't know how this is going to be directly correlated yet, but in a similar space, something that Jessica Lignato brings up like every week on her podcast is like about how there is a very like, very much a pipeline from like a certain new age crowd and white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Like just because people are on the internet being like, I'm so spiritual, this is how you like connect with your higher self, doesn't mean that they're like not a white supremacist or like whatever. Like it doesn't mean that they have the same values as you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I feel like I can't go off on my life coach MLM tangent right now.
Maybe. Because honestly, that's
the same as what you're saying.
It's the same as what I'm saying. And that is all very, feels very virginity coded.
It is super virginity coded. But it's like, well, okay. So I have a theory that, so like being a life coach is definitely an MLM. And it's been something I've been thinking about for a while. And like, I don't know if you guys follow any life coaches, but like they all like have the same values and they all go to Bali, which also just has some like fucked up whiteness things happening there. And then they all like, so like if Aubrey was my life coach, I would start seeing Aubrey. And then Aubrey would be like, you like somehow, I don't know how it works. I've never gone, but I'm really, from what I'm piecing together, because I do a lot of stalking in my free time, is then Aubrey would say, you should share your gift with people. So then now I'm a life coach. And then now I'm telling people that Aubrey changed my life, pay Aubrey 10 grand. But I'm also starting a program for $5,000. I'm going to bring in my, I can't be mean. I can't say what I was about to say. I'm going to bring in my group of people who want to see me. And then those people are going to start seeing me. And I'm going to say, you should see my teacher above me, Aubrey. And then these people, oh my God, you have such a gift. You should share this with people. And then now my three little bitches are now life coaches too. And then they funnel people up to me. And then they funnel people up to Aubrey. That's an MLM.
Yeah.
That's a fucking MLM.
And somehow all of
these. It's a pyramid scheme.
All of these people with gifts are white women, aren't they?
They're all white women. And a lot of them say very interesting, harmful things about how they used to be lesbians. That comes up so much. They used to be lesbians, and now they are submissive.
So pointed at me.
They are submissive. I don't mean it that
way. As your life coach.
As my pyramid scheme member. And then they say, like, and now I am so happy being submissive to my man. It is so deeply weird. And I don't know if this is like just a me thing. Like, I don't know if anyone else is on this corner of the internet, but like, I obviously, like, I knew one person who's in this world. And then so obviously now,
like,
I
should
fucking,
we have her on the podcast?
I fucking dug in. No. So I have dug in so deep to it, but it is like so interesting. And it feels very, because they talk about like pleasure and like self-pleasure and stuff. So it's not abstinency, but it's not have sex with anyone outside of your partner. Or like, I feel like the goal is like, either like you have to pleasure yourself or you have to find a man and then you guys can do that together. Like, it's not, I don't think there's anything but that.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about like, if it's pleasure, it's for deepening it in your, well, like yourself, whatever. But I think the goal is your relationships always.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's something so fucking weird and like very, very white supremacist, very, very harmful, anti-queer people, anti-women, anti, like, everything I can think of. Probably racist. They're not putting that right on their Instagram feed, but I'm sure I'm sure there's some weirdness if we, you got deeper into, yeah, it. I don't know. I just think it's so like that, because obviously it's all spirituality. It's not like gym bro dudes. It's no. Like, it's like pretty white women who have like reached transcendence.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting. But yeah, that they're where a lot of the like anti-casual sex comes from, but I see it other places too.
Yeah, do whatever you want, people.
Do whatever you want. Make informed choices. Don't shame other people for theirs. And don't get swept into a pyramid scheme.
Amen.
Don't do it. Amen. See a licensed therapist.
Yes.
That's all.
That's all.
You've reached the crush crisis hotline.
Hotline bling.
Hotline bling. Hotline bling. Drake would literally sue.
Yeah.
If you heard that rendition. Okay. Hi, hello. I'm forever and always having friend crushes, which can get you into some sticky situation stuff, especially if close friends. I'm sorry, I didn't introduce this at all. This is
I was like, we're diving right in.
This is a submission from a listener, and we're going to talk about it. Okay.
You were just talking about scripts. Everyone thought you just came in. And
hi. Okay, I'm back. Hi, hello. I'm forever and always having friend crushes, which can get you into some sticky stuff, especially if close friends, friend groups are involved. My most recent crush is with one of my best friend's best friend since she moved out this way. I just recently moved here to be closer to my best friend and be around a more inclusive community. As a bisexual trans man, I've been struggling to build strong romantic intimacy with cis women, usually friend zone from the start if we meet in person / through mutual friends. And then the dating apps route is worse because people often write me off for being trans without truly knowing me. Mind you, I'm a very flirty person and will often flirt with friends to keep fun banter alive. And also, why not? My friends are hot. Anywho, the best friend's best friend that I have a crush on, she is a Leo sun, aqua moon, Virgo rising and Mercury, and with a Leo, Libra, Venus, Scorpio, Mars. I am feeling so drawn to her in almost a shy way where I don't flirt with her all the time, even though I have a big old crush. Multiple dreams and can't get her off my mind kind of crush. We get that. I really enjoy our interactions, especially flirty intellectual conversations, because it's mainly her ranting and I rate that. Is that like a slang?
I think so.
Okay. I was thinking like hate, but it's not hate.
No, I think it's like I'm into that.
Great. I have already tried to subdue this crush slash feelings for the comfort of my best friend, with whom I drunkenly told a while back, but they keep coming back as I'm around her and learning more about her and liking a lot of things. I'm wanting to try to see if there's something reciprocated, because I truly feel there might be, but she maybe is internalizing the friend dynamics as well. I will note that she has been very forthcoming about not believing that there is a person out there for her, which is a defense mechanism because her one and only relationship that burnt her years ago was with her best friend. So we've got some trauma here. And that
which is not the mutual best friend. Or is it?
It's the best friend's best friend.
But that's not a mutual best friend. They have different best friends.
I don't know.
Okay.
We don't know that best friend. I'm not sure if it's the best friend or a different best friend.
Okay.
And that she's had some interesting experiences with said guy friends crushing and telling her that have not ended well for them. Worst case scenario. Really don't want that to happen. TBH, I do not know her sexuality 100%, but she is thrown about in conversations that she is open. Is there something astrologically strong enough between us that would make sense to move things up a notch? Maybe make the crush more well known so that we could have a conversation about it at the least? Is it worth it? Please and thank you. Okay. And our listener here has a Taurus sun, Virgo moon, and Taurus rising.
And a whole bunch of grand trines, it seems.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it seems like you're a superstar.
Yeah, quite a balanced little chart there.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm excited for this shift to friend crush territory from work crush territory, just to change it up a little bit.
I thought somehow I missed that, like, they used to be work were taking it out of work. I was like, why is everything?
No, I just love that this isn't work crush for one time.
Yes.
We're not mad about the work crush.
We're not mad.
I'm just excited for something new.
We love to switch things up. Back to HR next week, maybe.
Yeah, we literally the next one we have is HR.
Okay, remind me of our crushes, please.
Okay, our crush has a Leo sun, aqua moon, Virgo rising, Virgo Mercury, Libra Venus, Scorpio Mars.
Okay.
So I do think because our listener, he has a Taurus rising, so is Venus ruled like us. I do think this retrograde period probably is going to be like a good time to just marinate on it.
Yeah.
Like we've been saying, like, you probably just like, it maybe has been coming up for you more too over like the last couple weeks, because it just feels like you're like, oh my God, should I do something about my crush? Should I do something about my crush kind of energy? Yeah. probably because like with the Venus retrograde, you're just like thinking a lot more about it. So I do think this would be like, I would ride it timing wise, at least I would ride it out through the retrograde period, or like continue to just like gather information before like, and you. Yeah. Okay. They also do have, like, they have a Virgo Mercury, so then, like, this retrograde period might be, like, a little sticky for them, too. So, I don't know. I literally said, like, let's we could talk more about the astrology and stuff, but like timing wise, I would say let's give it a fall. A fall start date.
I was just going to say the same exact thing, because taking from Alice Bell, go listen to our Astro Book Club episode, Trust Your Timing with Alice Bell. I also have a Taurus rising. So like right now there's nothing transiting our like seventh house, which granted there is some stuff in our fifth houses right now. So it does feel like we want to be dating and crushing and like that kind of playful flirty energy. But like, my plan is to just keep it like cash flirty vibes through these like retrogrades and stuff. And then in like mid-October, we're going to have a bunch of planets in our seventh house. So that will be more like relationshipy time.
Yeah. Also, like, she is going to be like in, because we're in Leo season right now with her Virgo rising, she's gonna be in like 12th house land. Mm-hmm. So she's probably not there either. I would at least wait till she's into like Virgo season first house energy, but I do think there's still gonna be a lot of retrograde situations happening, like probably still around that time. So like Ob said, probably like let's push our start date till the retrogrades start to unwind. You're gonna have a little more relationship energy too. So like, especially with some friend stickiness, you're gonna wanna make sure the timing is like clean and clear, just to not like get yourself into some weird retrograde thing that lasts for 2 weeks and then you're like, oh my God, fuck. Like, now what are we supposed to do as friends for the rest of time?
Yeah.
Like, I think like those are relationships that you probably want to be a little more intentional about, especially not to just like create weirdness within like with your best friend or whatever.
Totally. They also have, or right now Saturn is in Pisces and that is their seventh house. So it's also giving like our crush is feeling some restrictions on the like
relationship front.
Which is probably why you've been hearing so much about like their like past
no one is for me kind of energy.
It's giving very much that. So I mean, that is gonna last a couple more years, but not to say that they can't like work through those things, but it's just definitely like there is gonna feel like a blockage in that area for them.
You do both have like these nice like earthy airy placements though, like the Virgo rising to your Virgo moon, the Libra to the Libra Venus to the Gemini Venus. Like there are like nice, like nice placements that would for sure work as friends, but probably like are why you find like such an interest and like click with them. So I do think astrologically it's not giving like huge red flag disaster. No. The timing is more where I see stickiness.
Yeah, which I am a huge proponent right now of friendship building.
Yeah, I agree.
And not dating anyone you don't know. So I think it's amazing that you guys can be close and like you can get to know her and see like those triggers and like traumas that she might have and like not jump into anything before you have collected all of your information.
Yeah.
It's gonna like set you up for success anyway.
Yeah. Also with like her Scorpio Mars, it is giving kind of that like I could never be good enough for anyone, or I don't want to show anyone like who I really am, or like I don't think anyone would love me energy. So like having a friendship with someone with those placements will probably really like open them up to then like if you did start to date, it would like you could actually have like success and like could move past that. But probably if you just started dating someone with that placement, like that kind of stuff would probably be a little like it would probably just take a lot more time to break down. But ideally, like if you have a friendship with them and you're like talking to them about those kinds of things already, there would be some like more openness and like security or just like comfort there.
You do have your ascendant in late degrees of Taurus. So while Jupiter is in your first house this whole year, I think towards like maybe early 2024, you are really going to feel like the belle of the ball, the king of the castle, the most eligible bachelor. And like people are going to be like attracted to you.
Yeah.
And I think they are, but I think it will feel even bigger to you early 2024. So
love that.
Keep that in your back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think you're going to have a problem dating anybody then.
No, for sure. Yeah, I feel like it's like, if this is something that's important to you, like super or important enough to you to have to wait it out, for sure, wait it out. If it doesn't feel important enough to wait it out, it's probably not that important to you. And you probably could like date someone else in the meantime or something. Or just like maybe you're just like really stuck on this person right now. But I think if you like know that there's like a bigger picture here with you two, you should be able to be like, no, I'm willing to like wait till the like the fall or whatever. Like,
to
kind of like try to see where things go. And yeah, otherwise date other people. But
although, okay, something my therapist keeps saying to me is like every week they'll be like, and could maybe we speak our truth this week? And I'm like, no, I'll be waiting it out. Thank you.
No, I will not be speaking my truth. Thank you for bringing it up.
So I don't know. I think that there is an argument to speak your truth and to like have a conversation. No,
for sure. There.
Especially if you just go into it being confident and like, hey, like I have a crush on you. How do you feel about that? Like, there's obviously nothing wrong with that. But
no, no, I think more like where I think timing wise is like the pushing of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you could say whatever you want whenever, but like maybe don't think things are gonna like all of a sudden like spiral and you're like living together or like just like all of a sudden things are this beautiful blossoming relationship. Like it might take like a weird like, hey, I have a crush on you. What do you think?
Yeah.
For like, have you thought about it? Yes. You know, like for a couple months and then see where it goes from there. But I think just don't get discouraged if they're like, if they're also in this retrograde spiral, if you're in this retrograde spiral and things don't seem to be like progressing.
Right. And then also, as I said at the beginning of this episode, it is Venus retrograde. So like maybe you just like won't feel this strongly about this crush. Like
when we're out of
retrograde.
Yeah.
Just something to keep in mind. Maybe you will. And that's amazing.
But yeah. And then you know for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for writing in. If our other listeners have a little tale like this that you'd like to share, we love the depth of this. Mm-hmm. We have Google Forms. There's a link in the show notes, in our social media link in bios. Go fill it out. We'd love to hear from you.
We'd love to hear from you. Yay.
That's our episode.
That's our episode.
Thanks for joining us. Maybe leave us a review. That would be nice. That would be really
so
nice. I feel like you kind of liked it if you're still here.
Yeah, you definitely liked it. Leave a little review. 5 stars only. We need some more Apple Podcast reviews, honestly. So if you're a Spotify slut, maybe hop on over there. And I don't know if you have to like listen to an episode first, like listen to an episode, then leave a review. On Apple, you can also write things.
Oh.
So you can write, like you can give a number and then write shit down, which I think is wonderful. So
best podcast ever. That's what Caroline Calloway said. So
it's a quote.
We will see you on Friday for a quickie episode and next Wednesday for a full length episode.
Stunning.
See you later, sluts.
Bye, sluts.